The foundry owner hadn't mentioned the probability that a different channel wouldn't have known the initial letter had come by way of Farman, which would have meant, presumably, that the other man wouldn't have been implicated, so far as the Inquisition knew, in the effort to set up some sort of clandestine communication with the king. Farman was far too astute not to have thought of that, and the fact that he hadn't chosen to say a word about it suggested many things to King Gorja of Taro. "Should I assume, Sir Rick," he said carefully, after a trickle of seconds, "that you've brought that letter to me?"
"I have, Your Majesty."
Farman bowed gravely, then extracted a large envelope from inside his tunic. Gorja held out his hand when he saw it, and Farman limped around the table to lay it in his palm. But he paused before he handed it to his king.
"Your Majesty, I've brought you both letters," he said, looking Gorja in the eye. "Obviously, I haven't opened the one addressed to you. I have no idea what it contains. If you choose to place all of this in the Inquisition's hands, I will cooperate in any way they or you require. Indeed, if you wish it, I'll take both of them to Father Franklin immediately, without ever mentioning this meeting."
"I appreciate the generosity of your offer, Sir Rick," Gorja replied, and he meant it. "Nonetheless, as yourself, I believe it behooves me to see what this letter contains first." He showed a flash of white teeth, and his dark eyes glinted with genuine, if sardonic, humor. "I can think of quite a few ways in which a letter could be crafted to create all manner of suspicion in someone's mind."
"I considered that, Your Majesty," Farman acknowledged. "At the same time, though, it occurred to me that if the idea was to plant false information, false suspicion, in the mind of the Inquisition, there were probably simpler and more reliable ways for Earl Grey Harbor or Baron Wave Thunder to accidentally allow their correspondence to fall into the Inquisition's hands."
Gorja's eyes narrowed thoughtfully. There'd been no need for Farman to offer that last observation, and the king wondered why he had.
"Is that simply your way of suggesting that you think whatever this damned thing says is genuine? Or is it your way of suggesting that I ought to read it, and possibly give some serious thought to whatever it does say?"
He considered asking the question out loud, but only briefly. Either way, it really didn't matter. Except that, again either way, the foundry owner obviously did think he should read it.
"That's an excellent point," he said instead, and waggled the fingers of his outstretched hand very slightly.
Farman took the hint and laid the envelope in his palm. Gorja let it lie there for a moment while he gazed down at it, feeling its weight, wondering what it said. Then he looked back up at Farman.
"Sir Rick, I'm well aware that bringing this to me was no easy decision. I appreciate your courage in doing so, and the frankness of your explanation, and for that matter, the wisdom of your analysis. Now, however, I think it would be best for you to return to your home while I examine this and think about it."
"Of course, Your Majesty."
Farman began to back away from the table, avoiding the social solecism of turning his back upon his monarch. But Gorja raised the index finger of his free hand, and the foundry owner paused.
"If it should happen, I decide the Inquisition needs to be informed about this, Sir Rick," the king said quietly. "I'll have word sent to you first, before I contact Father Franklin."
He saw Farman's face tighten slightly.
"I believe I owe you that courtesy, and whatever happens, I promise you that I won't forget your service in bringing it to me."
He emphasized the final pronoun very slightly, but deliberately, and Farman nodded.
"Thank you, Your Majesty. And now, with Your Majesty's permission..."
He gestured in the door's direction, and Gorja nodded.
"By all means, Sir Rick," he agreed,
then watched while the foundry owner eased out of the council chamber and the door closed quietly behind him. The King of Taro gazed at that closed door for the better part of 2 minutes. Then, finally, he laid the envelope on the table in front of him, opened it, and extracted its contents. He paid no immediate attention to the cover letter to Farman. Instead, he slowly unfolded the second envelope which had been enclosed in the first one, and his eyes widened as he saw the handwriting. He paused for just a moment, then flattened it on the table, holding it down for a moment with both hands, the way a man might restrain a small, unknown animal he wasn't certain wasn't going to bite.
"Well, I don't suppose that's a surprise," a corner of his brain reflected, as he studied the handwritten address. "Or maybe it is. I'm sure he has a secretary somewhere he could trust with almost any correspondence. On the other hand, I imagined he could be fairly confident this would be one way to get my attention."
The king surprised himself with a snort of humor.
Not that his rather dramatic way of getting it delivered didn't already take care of that.
King Gorgia shook his head, looking down at the envelope an extraordinarily busy and powerful man had addressed himself. There was no question in the king's mind that the man who'd done that had expected his addressee to recognize his handwriting. No, it had truly come from him. Now it only remained to see exactly what Regis Yowans, the Earl of Grey Harbor, and, effectively, the first counselor of the Carisian Empire, had to say to him.